Blog Talk Radio.
Live from my Bewitched room, which has the cartoon opening painted on all the walls with all my Bewitched stuff on all the shelves all around.
That is cool. That is cool.
Yeah. A little crazy, but awesome.
I have some pick stills that are autographed. I can't talk tonight. I am sorry, everybody. I have Casey, I have Bernie Capel, I have, what's his name? He played Dr. Bombay.
Oh, Bernard Fox, my favorite.
I have Bernard Fox, and I have Aaron Murphy. Those are the ones I have from Bewitched.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So I am a true blue fan. So that's why whenever he comes on, we can chat our little heads off.
Yep.
Now, you've written two books now, right?
Well, it's the original book, but the second edition, which was revised.
And what's in the part? Is this about the 50th anniversary, or...?
So it was released for the 50th anniversary in 2014, but my original book, I referred to Darren as Durwood throughout the whole book, which was a terrible choice. But at the time, I thought it was hysterical. So when I did the second edition, I changed all the references to Darren to be Darren, except for when I was quoting Endora and she would call him Durwood or whatever. And I also added more pictures and more about, like, the Bewitched fanfares that I had attended that Mark Simpson puts on, and he's been a former guest of yours. But I put some more things like that in there.
Someday I'm going to actually get to go to one of the fanfares.
Yeah, I was hoping you were going to be at this last one.
Yeah, I couldn't. But I wanted to. I was there in spirit.
Yes.
Get it?
Yes.
But I love the show. I love the concept, why they did the show. I'm also a big fan of one of the movies that was an inspiration. Did you ever see Bell, Book, and Candle?
Yes, I actually have that on DVD, and I love that show, too, or that movie.
All-time favorite Kim Novak movies. She's just brilliant in it. It's not a direct thing. It's just more of an inspiration than taking from it. But it's such a wonderful... I watch it every Christmas. It's my favorite Christmas movie.
Yeah, it is a good Christmas movie. That's the only time I ever watch it.
Well, it is for Christmas. It's set in Christmas time, so it's appropriate to watch it at Christmas.
Plus, it's got cute Pie Wacket, the Siamese cat.
Oh, my Xena was almost named Pie Wacket. We were, like, talking about it and went back and forth. But she was more of a Xena. I want
yeah.
the next have to be called a Piwacket because I love that name, Piwacket.
Yeah, it's good. And then have you seen that other movie that Bewitched was inspired by called I Married a Witch with Veronica Lake?
I did, with Frederick March. Yes, I did.
Yeah.
I've seen every movie like that. I also, there was another movie that's never mentioned. I don't think it has any direct connection, but I also, it's coming up on TCM, Bedknobs and Broomsticks with Angela Lansbury. I
yeah.
always loved that movie. And one of my favorite parts of the last Harry Potter is when Maggie Smith animates all the statues in
yeah.
the Hogwarts, and she has that cute little look on her face saying, I always wanted to do that spell because it sounds just like the spell she does in Bedknobs and Broomsticks.
Yeah, that was cute.
I thought, oh, that's a really good nod. I just wondered if anybody else got it.
I probably didn't catch it the first time, but a couple times in I did.
Oh, I got it in the movie theater the first time I saw it. I started jumping up and down in my seat.
And speaking of Harry Potter, I've tweeted J.K. Rowling, the author of Harry Potter, a couple times to ask her opinion as to whether or not she thinks that Samantha and Endora and all of them are like would have actually been part of Harry Potter's world, or would the characters in Harry Potter just have watched the television show like we do? But she's never responded.
Oh, I wish that would have been a really interesting question to answer. I mean, she can't respond to everything, but that is a really interesting question.
I know.
I know. I said
yeah. One
couple,
day she'll answer me.
Someday, if you ask her the same question over and over, she might answer you. She'll go, oh, I already.
Just to shut me up.
But yeah, I love movies about magic. I don't know if that came from Bewitched because I watched Bewitched first, but I've always loved
so,
it. I mean, Bedknobs and Broomsticks and Bewitched are pretty much head to head because that was a Disney movie.
Yeah, and it came out, I think, if I remember correctly, but don't quote me, I think it came out in 1969.
Yeah, something like that. It was during Bewitched, during the period of Bewitched.
Yeah, yeah.
I had the record.
Oh, yeah.
I was a big Disney nut. My parents always got me the records from the Disney stuff that I liked.
Yeah.
I don't think
I'm
I
a
have
big
it
Disney
anymore.
Freak, too.
I mean, Aristocats. I have Fantasia. I do still have Fantasia. There was another one. It was Wonderful World of Disney and had all the different movies on it.
Yeah.
I still have them. You know, records, to those who don't know what a record is, it's a big black disc, CD, like a CD disc, and it kind of looks like licorice because it's all grooves.
Yeah,
and
I never thought about it. Like flat licorice.
Yeah, it is. It is. You look at it and sort of like flat, because it's all grooved, because that's how the music and the words come. It's really an interesting concept.
Yes, it is.
Not all younger viewers need that. I mean, there's people that have parents who have records or just people who've seen records that are collectors themselves and stuff. But there are young people who have never heard of what we're talking about.
But you know what? Records are coming back into fashion because the other day at Target, they have several albums that are on their music aisle that are on vinyl.
I think that is interesting because, well, one thing is CD art and album for a real record is a completely different thing. It's the art for a record is true art. I mean, if you look at any good record album, it's the jacket inside and out. It's just gorgeous. But there was something special about that. And that's one of the things that's missing. And it's like a book, you know. Books, it's something you can hold while you're listening. And you can, yeah, I know you can look it up online, blah, blah, blah. But it's much more fun to look it up on the record while you're listening to it. Because there's always been records.
I totally agree.
I don't know. It seems to me that we've gotten very lazy, and our brains have gotten lazy because of it. And my brother and I were talking about it. Our brains were so much sharper before Google.
Oh, I was just actually mentioning that the other day to somebody, that I feel like everybody was smarter before we had these smartphones.
Yeah. I mean, I try now not to remember it myself. Because I am getting older, I don't want to lose my ability to have memory, because I learned in a thing that I was watching that there is actually a little part of your brain that if you don't use it to open up your paths of learning to other things, if you don't use the pathway in your brain, there's another part of your brain that will just make it go away. So you will literally, you won't lose memories, but you will lose ability to do something that you have. Like, say you were taught math in school, but you don't use it anymore. The reason you have a hard time doing it now because you don't use it is because your brain is making way for other things that you were needing to use your brain for, so it just got that little pathway out of the way so it could open up for other things.
That's such a perfect example, because I have to help my 12-year-old nephew with math, and like I can literally feel the gears in my head where math was stored. They've all rusted over, and it hurt when it was first starting up.
Right. You have to relearn it. You actually have to reteach yourself something you already know because you're not using it.
Yep.
Isn't that interesting? I never knew that before. I did not know. I thought you just, it's just something, you know, you don't use it, you lose it. No, it's literally taken by your own brain saying, oh, you're not using that. You haven't used it for years. I'm going to take it out. Your own brain is doing that.
It's kind of scary, but one thing that, now I can't think of what I was going to say. See, there's my brain going.
I know. And we're also getting older. When you get older, I think that little part of your brain that does it, it's working harder.
Yeah.
There's more pathways that are going boop, 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 boop.
Yep.
I'm not sure why, but that's just... I think what it was explained by the scientists and the neurologists that were in that show. I love watching stuff like this. I'm weird. I watch things about animals and space and the human body and relationships because it interests me. I watch a lot of it. Also because I'm a writer and it helps me, but also because I'm interested. And when I was listening to the neurologist saying this, I'm like, you take it in and you're like, oh, my God, that makes sense. That's why I can't do long division anymore. That was one of the few parts of math I could do pretty darn well. Now I can't do it anymore. And I used to know all the multiplication tables. That was another part. I was good at the easy stuff. I wasn't good at the like calculus and geometry. I was very good at geometry. Gone.
Oh, I know what I was gonna say. I keep my head so full of Bewitched trivia that part will never go away.
See, you're using it. It won't do that to something using. If you're using that and you're broadening it and it's something you go back to all the time, it doesn't do it. It only does it for a part of you that you're not using it. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, that is very interesting.
Because it's actually where, okay, like I am into astronomy. I've been reading a lot and watching a lot and stuff like that, and I've always been into astronomy. So my astronomy bank is really good. But where the math bank, I think, went is where the astronomy kind of widened out. Because it's sort of the same area. That's not what they said. That's my own theory.
Yeah.
But you're using Bewitched all the time. That's part of your, that's one of your passions. So, of course, it's never going to go away.
And that's why I wrote a book, because I had so much going on in my head that I had to put it somewhere. And even though I put it somewhere, I still have more.
I have a real affection for Bewitched because this is, I think I've said it to you before. When I was a little girl, we moved a lot. And even though I had a brother and a family and stuff, I was kind of lonely. So Tabitha was my age. She's a little younger, but me, she was my age, and so she would be my, you know how kids have like imaginary friends? Well, my imaginary friend was Tabitha.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
No, it totally makes sense. I totally view Samantha and Darren and Tabitha and everybody on the show, I view them as my other family. And it's not that I didn't feel like I was really lonely growing up, but I just I felt like going home every time I watched that show.
And it's such a warm show. I think Elizabeth Montgomery makes Samantha such a warm, loving, accepting woman that it's easy just to fall tumble into it because it's like they open your arms and say, come into our house and enjoy. You know, that's just the way Bewitched always was to me.
Yep, and what I love, too, is that, listening to people that knew her or worked with her, everybody says that what we saw in Samantha on the screen was essentially just Liz, except that Liz had, like, a dirty sense of humor that couldn't have aired back then.
Oh, that came through in Serena.
Yeah, and Serena is one of my favorites.
It is so funny because I was actually watching Bewitched today and trying to escape some stuff that was happening in my apartment that I went into another room and I put Bewitched on just so I had noise.
Yeah.
And to combat other noise, bad noise. And... It was the Salem shows, the Salem episodes.
Oh, I love Salem, yeah.
And it's the one where the first episode when they're actually in Salem was the bed warmer. And some of the lines now as a woman that I listen to Serena and I'm like, I did not get it because now at my level, she was a dirty
especially
little witch.
Especially when she's talking to Newton, who was the warlock that she turned into a bed warmer, and he was telling her that his powers aren't what they used to be, and she's all, that's not the only thing.
That was what I was thinking of. Yes, I it is. Yeah, I know. You're telling me.
So funny. It's way funny that they got away with it.
Yeah, Serena could get away with that because of who she was. Sam could never have gotten away with that.
No, you're right.
I mean, Serena was a pretty much a child of the 60s and early 70s. She was like a hippie, even though they didn't make her a hippie until later. I mean, she was a wild child. So she could get away with doing all those things. That's one of the reasons I love her.
Yep. And what I also love is, I think it was Richard Michaels that was one of the directors on the show, or somebody, Herbie J. Pilato, when he interviewed him for his Bewitched book, which is the original Bewitched book. I think he said that sometimes Liz would keep on the Serena stuff and people on the set wouldn't recognize her.
I read that. When she first was doing Serena, she wandered around. I think that was when Tabitha was first born. I think that was
that was her first episode. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And she would wander around and be really sexy and talking to everybody, and no one knew it was Elizabeth.
And yet that version of Serena is essentially just Liz with a short brunette wig on. It didn't even really seem like her makeup was that different.
Yeah, but her body language was. I mean, this was her ability as a performer. She transformed into that sex kitten, sexy lady. I don't know what really to call Serena in modern wording, but she transformed herself. She was different when she played Serena. You could see the difference when the episode where she was a hippie and she was popping back and forth. It was Samantha pretending to be Serena, but she was popping back and forth. You can actually, even though she was Samantha pretending to be Serena, you could still tell, you could see the transformation. She even made verbal mistakes on purpose. It was like,
it was
being performance.
Right. And actually, that goes along with me and my friend Bill Lane. He lives in Sweden, I believe. Forgive me if I'm wrong, Bill. But we were just talking about Elizabeth's performance in Samantha Goes South for a Spell, which is actually celebrating its 50th anniversary this week, and that's where Serena shows up with a warlock that she'd been fooling around with, who is married to Brunhilde, another witch. And so Elizabeth plays not only Serena and Samantha, but she also plays New Orleans version of Samantha, which is totally different from the regular Samantha. And she also plays Serena playing Samantha. So she has four different roles in one episode. And if you really didn't know better, you would think that they were, well, at least Serena and Samantha were at least two different actresses. But all four characters show how great an actress Liz was.
She was just amazing. The way she could transform herself. And considering the technology of the time, I think her stand-in, who did Serena or Samantha when she was doing the other character, she was really good. I mean, that was difficult because you're fooling people into believing that you're the star of the show, and as star of the show, part. I thought she was very good.
Yeah, her stand-in was Melody McCord, and she did an awesome job.
That's a difficult. Not only are you doubling the lead, Samantha, but you're also doubling Serena, and which are completely different characters. That must have been really difficult. I have a lot of respect for her.
Yeah, I think just what they did on the show is brilliant, and I think that the fact that we're talking about it, about this show that's now 54 years old, is amazing.
Uh-huh. I know, isn't it amazing that it's just, I think there's a lot of shows that are coming into their 50 year period now, and a lot of great shows, but it's just, there's something but Bewitched is like sitcom, you know, not all, even though a lot of sitcoms are great and they come into their own, there's something special about certain shows, like I Love Lucy, Bewitched, things like that. They go beyond what they're supposed to do.
Right, and I think that they also go beyond their time period as well, like they're timeless.
Yes, exactly. That's it. And I listen to other podcasts, and some podcasts about shows are great, and some podcasts, one of my pet peeves about people who are doing a podcast, if you're going to do a podcast about a different era that you're not from, please do a little research about the era you're talking about. I was 4 or 5 years old in the 60s. I don't really literally remember it from my own memory, but I know about it because I read about it and I watch it and I understand it. If you're going to talk about a period, know what the period is.
Right. I totally agree.
That's one of my...
Because
some of the podcasts are amazing. I love them. I listen to them every week. But some of them I've just kind of got turned off because they don't know what they're talking about.
Or at least they don't recognize it. It literally was a different world 50 years ago.
Yeah. It was a whole different...
Although in some ways it's the same world. Wouldn't you agree?
Definitely. Let's not go there.
No, we won't.
But I'll take a simple thing, and it goes all the way into the 70s. The Coming Home for a Martini. Today, somebody who drank as much as the people who did in all these shows, we would consider them alcoholics.
Right.
I mean, think about Bewitched. He comes home and he could have a double or a triple or quadruple, and then he'll have a fight with Samantha and he'll go to the bar and he'll get more drinks.
Yeah.
That's because in that period, that was sophisticated. That was what intelligent, educated people did. They came home and they had a martini with their family. When they had a or when they went out with their friends, they went out and they got a drink, and they may get drunk, but they were out with their friends. I mean, we still do that today, but we recognize if you drink too much, that's not a good thing. Then it was just, oh, God, boys will be boys, girls will be girls. You know,
yeah.
Thing, different era.
Yeah, it's a totally different era.
I mean, and the way we look at it is different. I mean, sometimes I watch, even though I do understand it, and it's like reading an old book, and I'm talking about a really old book, like something from the 20s or something, or from 1900s, the 1800s. You cannot read it. If you're going to read an old book or watch an old TV show or watch an old movie, you can actually put your modern mind you can't put them into your modern time period because it's not fair to the characters.
No, and it's not fair to the writers either.
Right. It just isn't. It's not fair to the creators, whatever the writers or the actors or the playwright or whoever's creating that entertainment that you're watching. It doesn't even matter. It could be Shakespeare. It could be a 1920s book like F. Scott Fitzgerald's The Great Gatsby or whatever.
Right.
Or Bewitched, I Love Lucy. It doesn't matter. You cannot think of it from the 2018 and put our thought and our period on another time. It's not fair to them.
No, it's not.
That makes sense?
Yes, I totally agree with that. I think that you have to go into it knowing how the world was at that time. And even if you're not familiar with the world, just have the knowledge that it was a different time.
At least be open. Have an open mind.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, if I got all anxious about certain prejudices that were in movies, books, and TV shows in another era, I'd never watch anything. I would only watch, read modern stuff. I mean, you have to suspend your own sensitivities too. It's not just, oh, well, in the 50s they wear fur, okay. In the 60s they drink a lot of martinis, and you know, in the 1920s women were just coming into their own, and men really didn't like it. Well, you know what? It's still the same thing now. You just have to open your mind and see how you relate to that, and be open to it. And if you're open to it, you learn a lot of stuff.
Right. I totally agree.
That's my little buggy boo.
So I know that we mentioned about the Bewitched fanfare. I wanted to talk a little bit about this past one because it was so awesome.
Yeah, I want to hear about it because you had some great people. Who was your favorite?
Yeah. Oh. Well, both. So Nancy Kovac, who played Sheila Summers, that was Darren's ex-girlfriend, and also in the season 5 episodes, Cousin Serena Strikes Again, she played the Italian client, Cleo Venita. She was there, Nancy Kovac, and she was there with her husband, who's the world-famous conductor, Zubin Mehta, which was phenomenal to meet him, but I didn't really take – the time to get to talk to him because I was so in awe of Nancy. But she was having her sign my original copy of my book that I have for me that I've had all the actors sign.
Yeah.
And it was really funny because she asked what I do when I'm not an author, and in my, what I call my mortal job, I am an insurance case manager, and she thought that was hilarious.
I don't know. Maybe there's something about insurance, because that's what I don't do it anymore. I did it for years. I was a customer service agent for an insurance company.
Oh, nice. And she told her husband, and then I had to brag because this past May I went with the Westminster College Community Choir to sing in Carnegie Hall. And
cool.
Mr. Mehta, he was really impressed with that, and so was she. It made me feel pretty proud, and I was pretty proud to be singing up on the stages of Carnegie Hall, especially since, like, backstage they have posters of people that have sang there before, and I was like, oh my gosh, I was on the same stage as the Beatles. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, Beverly Sills, all kinds of amazing people.
Amazing.
I mean, yeah, Carnegie Hall is a big deal. You should be proud of yourself.
So,
that is.
Well, thank you. And then also another favorite at the fanfare was Bernie Coppell, that played the apothecary in the season 6 through 8. And he also played, it's not a fan favorite, but I love the episode from season 8 called The Warlock in the Gray Flannel Suit with Alonzo the Hippie Warlock. So, and I also dressed up like Alonzo. We were supposed to be having a costume contest, and only like 4 of us dressed up, but I won.
My favorite was him. I mean, I love him as the apothecary. I love him as the apothecary. But the one, my favorite with him is the one with Carol. What was her name? She was
Carol Wayne.
Yeah, she played a rabbit.
Yeah. And he was the client, and they started going out.
That episode. I love that. They were so cute together. It was just an adorable episode.
Yeah, it's way funny. And that also has Uncle Arthur in it. That's hilarious.
I know, and he can't get it to work. He can't get the rabbit to come back instead of the beautiful woman. Why isn't it working?
Yeah. And then at the end, when he's trying to turn her back into the rabbit, and his spell says something about putting a spell on a creature of such opposite sex, and then it turns her into six different people because the magic misunderstood him saying sex or six instead of sex.
I said sex. Yeah.
But yeah, meeting Nancy Kovac and Bernie Coppell were really awesome, and it was really funny when Bernie saw me in my Alonzo outfit. He says, "Oh God."
I met him a couple of times, but the first time I met him was at a collectible show, and we were talking about Itch, and we also talked about Get Smart, and because
I love Get Smart.
And it was, he goes, you know how nice it is not to, and he goes, I love doing Love Boat, and that's what he was currently doing, but it's really nice to talk to someone who's talking intelligently about Bewitched and Get Smart. And I said, oh, thank you. We have really nice talk.
Oh, that's sweet.
And he said,
he also shared a story about, oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, when he signed my thing, We were talking, and I told him that one of my favorite lines from Get Smart was, "There's no shushing here," and he signed it.
That's awesome. I asked him to sign my book, Flirpity Flirp, Bernie Coppell.
He probably looked at you.
He had the funniest story, though, on that episode. Invited him to her trailer for, I think it was vodka martinis. Maybe it was margaritas. I can't remember. Anyway, he got drunk. And then they had to go out on set. And he's like, I only did that first day. And then I realized I was making a huge mistake.
And?
But obviously, he got through it, but it was really hard for him because he was drunk.
Poor guy.
And also, they must have liked him still because he still came back as the apothecary and also as the German Baron in the Loch Ness Monster episodes. And Liz was known.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Liz, if she hadn't have liked him, he wouldn't have come back, so.
I was just out on a simple secret to spy.
Hilarious.
So cute. I loved it. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I was going to say we're coming to the end. I want you to be able to, what do you have coming up that you want people to know about?
Well, I am going to be interviewed on a local podcast called I Am Salt Lake Podcast. And it's about people that live here in Salt Lake that, like, artists or business people or whatever. And I'm going to be the featured guest. And it's just I've only recently got into listening to the podcast. And so I'm pretty excited to be on it, and it's going to be at the end of the month.
Cool.
Yeah.
Is it going to be all about your book?
What's that?
Is it going to be all about your book?
Yeah, it's going to be about my book and also about, like, me growing up here and my relationship with Salt Lake. And also, speaking of my book, the Bewitched History book is available at Marissa's Books, which is in Salt Lake on 900 East and, like, 5600 South, and she just moved it from the inside the middle of the store to up front, so anybody in the Salt Lake area can go there right now and pick it up for $30, which is a really good price for my book because it's over 700 pages.
I'm like, I have these Bewitched books that are both like encyclopedias.
Yeah, we like to talk a lot about. Yeah, and I love Adam Michael James' book, The Bewitched Continuum, and his other book. I don't know if you read that yet, Samantha Take This Mortal Darren.
He sent it to me. It's a great book, yeah. But that's a normal book. I'm talking big. You got to find a place on your bookshelf to put.
So, So I guess before we end, my book is still available on Amazon.com and also on my publisher's website at Bear Manor Media, which is bear like the animal, bearmanormedia.com.
And it's a really wonderful book. You're welcome. You want to know the history of the characters, of the stuff, of the set, of the time. Really, he researched it very well. Love your book.
Thank you, Sherry. And so also the fans can also go on to Facebook at facebook.com/bewitchedhistorybook or follow my Twitter at bewitchedbook so that they can get all sorts of updates and cool photos. And I always celebrate all the actors' birthdays and such. So there you go.
Yep. And do you have your Instagram? Did you say your Instagram? Because I didn't hear that.
They can follow my Instagram too. It's my personal one, but it's at Dr. Bombay 76, which is DrBombay 76.
Okay. So I just want to make sure you got everything out there so people can get in touch with you. Thank you
yep.
so much for being on the show. I mean, can you believe we zipped through 45 minutes?
No, not at all. This always goes so fast.
I know, because we have fun. We have fun.
Yep.
Anyway, so if you are do you have to be in the Salt Lake area, or is it a radio, or is it a podcast? Can anybody hear it? When you get your
anybody
interview?
Can hear it. Yeah, you can go to iamsaltlakepodcast.com, I think it is, but you can also search it up on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast from. It's called I Am Salt Lake, and my episode
okay.
will probably be published the first week of November.
Okay, I just want to make sure I got that.
But
out
I'll be. Yeah, I'll be posting about it on my Instagram and Twitter and on the Bewitched History Book Facebook page.
Perfect. Thank you, David, for coming on the show. I really enjoyed it. I hope you enjoyed yourself.
I did, too. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you. And thank you for chatting with Sherry.